Let us pray. Lord God, we welcome you among us. We praise you. We glorify you. We give thanks to you, and we ask that you would continue to speak to us as you've spoken to us in the words of the songs that you've spoken to us in Holy Scripture and in words of prophecy. And now in this time, continue to speak to us, for we ask it in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
Happy Father's Day, by the way. Yeah, and also with you. That's right. That's one of the great joys in life, is being a father, in both ways. Ordinarily, and in fact, I would say never, ever, ever, have I preached on a Sunday when I was looking at the scripture lessons for the day, and as I studied and read and worked on a sermon, that somehow all of the scriptures from that day came into the sermon. Because they're usually kind of artificially connected. But when I saw the lessons for today, I was really, really excited. As someone who loves the sea and spends perhaps way too much time entertaining children and myself as a pirate reenactor, I just love reading these lessons. Not that there's anything particularly piratical about these lessons, quite the contrary, but you may have noticed that as you were listening to the scripture being read, or as you read it, that there was a nautical theme running through these lessons. Beginning in the Old Testament, when God spoke to Job out of the whirlwind and kind of chastised him, and well, not kind of, did, for speaking about things of which he had no knowledge. In a roundabout way, God was telling Job, I'm God and you're not. And you're stupid. But he said it in a much nicer way. Who shut up the sea behind doors when it burst forth from the womb? When I made the clouds its garment and wrapped it in thick darkness, when I fixed limits for it and set its doors and bars in place, then I said, this far may you come and no further. Here is where your proud waves halt. And a little later he asked, have you journeyed to the springs of the sea or walked in the recesses of the deep? Of course, the answer is no. And in Psalm 107, I hope you picked up on this, some went out to sea on ships, were merchants on the mighty waters. They saw the works of the Lord, his wonderful deeds in the deep. For he spoke and stirred up a tempest that lifted high the waves. They mounted up to the heavens and went down to the depths. In their peril, their courage melted away. They reeled and staggered like drunkards. They were at their wit's end. And they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brought them out of their distress and stilled the storm to a whisper. The waves of the sea were hushed, and they were glad when it grew calm, and he guided them to their desired haven. And of course, the gospel lesson. Jesus stilling the storm on the Sea of Galilee. Peace, be still. It was calm. And then Jesus chastised his disciples for their lack of faith. The disciples were afraid and perplexed by this miracle, and they began to ask, who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him. And eventually they came to understand the answer to their question. Jesus is God in human flesh. The same God that spoke to Job out of the whirlwind, who created the sea and set its limits, The same God who answered the cry of the sailors and the merchants in Psalm 107. The God who created the sea is the God who stills the storms. And there are some in this room, I've heard stories, have been in storms at sea. Trip. Yes. Plenty of sailors. But few of us are ever going to be in one. But we know from these passages of scripture that Jesus stills the storms of life. We've all experienced storms in our lives. No exception. We all at times have to sail through some pretty rough seas. And I think the hardest sea, among the hardest seas to navigate and to sail, it would have to be the sea of human relationships. Without warning, you can be dashed against the rocks. And you could end up estranged from people that you love. In these storms, friendships are ended, marriages are destroyed. And some of you are probably thinking, gee, I came here today, or I tuned in on Zoom today hoping to hear some good news. And here I am talking about swimming away from the wreckage of broken relationships. But there is good news, and I promise we'll get to it in a few minutes. Broken relationships can be repaired, but not all of them will be. They can be repaired through reconciliation, which brings us to what the Apostle Paul said in our New Testament lesson today. Paul gives us the perfect example of reconciliation. He tells us, and you will hear this again today before you leave, in fact, right before you leave, God was in Christ Jesus reconciling the world to himself, not counting people's sins against them. Now, the Oxford Dictionary defines reconciliation as the process of making two people or groups of people friendly again after they have argued seriously or fought and been kept apart. Sin created our broken relationship with God. The Apostle Paul reminds us of this when he wrote to the Colossians. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. But now he has reconciled you to Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight. Reconciliation is at the very heart of the gospel message. It's the good news about broken relationships, the broken relationship with God and with others. And reconciliation, though it's not mentioned that much, it's the thread that runs through the entire Bible. Sin broke that relationship in the Garden of Eden, and the rest of Scripture, and I do admonish you to read the whole thing from cover to cover. The rest of the story is about God moving to reconcile the world to himself, even to the point of paying the wages of sin himself. Now, that's some good news. In fact, it's the heart of the good news of the gospel. God loved us that much. And it's a model we should follow for reconciling ourselves to one another. But we know not every relationship can be reconciled. But we are to try. In Matthew 18, Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times? Anybody remember Jesus' response? 70 times 7. Not 7. You're way short. Reconciliation begins with forgiveness. In Matthew 5, Jesus said, therefore, if you're offering your gift at the altar, and you remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First, go and be reconciled to them. Then come and offer your gift. We are commanded to try. We are admonished to try. Even though we know that not every broken relationship can be reconciled because both parties have to be willing. Now, I read a passage about forgiveness and I read one about reconciliation. They're not the same thing. A lot of people confuse those. Forgiveness is the first step in reconciliation. You can forgive someone, and that's the action of one person. You can forgive someone in a dispute. But that does not necessarily mean there will be reconciliation. It's wonderful if it leads to it, but it will not always. They are quite different. Forgiveness is the action of at least one person. Reconciliation is action on the part of two. But here's the wonderful thing about God's love for us. God loved us so much, he was willing to do both parts of the reconciliation. I mean, you can't get any easier than that. God made it possible for us to be reconciled. He reconciled us to him. Now, there's a story I want to share with you from early days of my ministry. I love this guy. T.T. Cook was his name. And when I met T.T., he was already, he had been diagnosed with terminal cancer. And he had gone through a round of chemotherapy and was just starting in radiation treatments, not to save his life, but to ease his discomfort and to extend his life with some quality. Now, T.T. was also known as Skipper to his friends. So, yeah, I hadn't thought he fits into the nautical motif. He was called Skipper because he was retired commander from the Coast Guard, and he had skippered a Coast Guard cutter. And he had more stories than Carter's has liver pills. All the stories of rescues at sea and storms at sea, it was just a delight to talk to him. And he was delightful. It was easy to laugh, full of wisdom. And as a person much younger than I am now, I really enjoyed visiting with him. I tried, if I could, to arrange his visit to be the last one of the day so I could spend more time. But knowing that he was dying, he really had only one regret. As often happens in military service, T.T. and his wife had divorced because of the time away and the strains on family. And his daughter had remained with her mother. And because of the divorce, she was bitter toward her father. And as an adult, she even made the decision not to have anything to do with him. But he loved her. And he would write her, and he would send her cards, and he would call and leave messages on her answering machine. But she never responded. During the service at his graveside, I looked up and I noticed that there was a young lady standing apart, about maybe 20, 25 feet behind everybody. She was within earshot. She could hear everything, but she had definitely separated herself from the service. No one had to tell me who she was. She was, excuse me. See, kind of happens to everybody. She was crying harder than anybody at that service. And so when the service was over, I made my way over to talk to her. I offered her my sympathy, and she voiced her deep regret. And the pain of knowing that there was nothing she could do about it. She couldn't repair the brokenness. And I told her I had little comfort for her, but there were some things I wanted her to know. I told her, your father loved you dearly. And you need to know that God, your heavenly father, loves you even more dearly. Be reconciled to your heavenly father. And I don't know, but maybe in the kingdom, all of these things will be reconciled. But I did tell her, remember how much this hurts. And try to always reconcile your broken relationships as best you can with God's help. It's a painful story. But I want you to think of that story and that broken relationship and move it to its highest level. Imagine those children who are not reconciled to their heavenly father. Like T.T. did, God's written to them. And he's called them. And leaves all kinds of messages for them. And he's done more than that. He sent ambassadors to them. God has given the ministry of reconciliation to us, to you and to me. And really, I mean, think about it. Who could be a better ambassador for reconciliation than those who've been reconciled? We know it. We've lived it. And we can share our personal stories. Those who are reconciled can speak honestly about reconciliation and the amazing love of God that lies behind it. So if you're looking for a last minute gift to get your Heavenly Father for Father's Day, give him the gift of his children. Let us take it seriously. Let us be diligent in our ambassadorship and our ministry of reconciliation. And if reconciliation is the heart of the message of the gospel, then it should be the heart of our lives. Be reconciled to God. Yes. And as far as possible, be reconciled to one another. Amen. Amen.